Can we turn in our Bibles fresh again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 21 of the chapter. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning our reading at verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 21. My son, let them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no hurt, no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite again the word of prayer. Our Father, we commit our consideration of thy word to thee. We'd ask thee, Lord, that as we come to contemplate the word of God, that the Holy Spirit will do that work of enlightening and leading us into all truth. Bless thy word to our souls, we'd ask of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're told in the Gospels about a day when one of the chief priest came to the Lord Jesus and asked a very profound question. And it was a question that was designed to tempt the Lord and to catch him out. But he said, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And the Lord summarized the commandments like this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And that love that we should have for our neighbour is something that is at the very heart of the gospel. James, in James 2 and verse 8, refers to the love to our neighbour as the royal law. He says, if that ye fulfil the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. So it's absolutely vital that we as Christians have that right relationship with our neighbours that are around about us. Now, who is our neighbour? Again, there was another lawyer who came to the Lord Jesus one time, and he asked that question, who is my neighbour? And in order to answer that question, you remember how the Lord Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we could summarize what it says by saying that our neighbor is anybody that's near us. Not only the people that we live beside, but then we go out day by day. We go to our workplace, or we go out into the shopping mall, or out into the community. And whoever we are by, or whoever we are near, is our neighbor. Our neighbor is just not the person that lives next door, but in a wider sense, it is anybody that we come in contact with. Now, it is vital that we treat our neighbour in a godlike fashion. We have a gospel today which has become known as the social gospel, which is a perversion of the true gospel, and we would condemn it. And there is that which says that the only and sole object of the church and of every Christian is to reach out with practical help to those around about us. Now, that's a perversion of the gospel, and we reject any perversion of the gospel because it's dangerous. But that does not mean that we should shy away from the truth of God's word, it is a command that we love our neighbor. It is something that is at the very center and heart of the message of Christ, that we reach out to those that are round about us. Now, it is for that reason that the portion of scripture that we have read today is so very vital. Because here we have set out to us some of the wisdom of the man of God and of the Holy Spirit of God as to how we should treat our neighbour. And I want you to notice that there are five things that we should not do to our neighbour. It states it in a negative way, but you notice the word not in that portion of scripture. It occurs a number of times. And I want us to look at those five things that we should not do to our neighbour so that we might have that right relationship and that we should have that real God-like, practical outworking in our lives, that practicality that reaches out to those that are around about us. So let's look at the five things that we should not do to our neighbour. Look at verse 27, first of all. And I want you to see the first thing is, withhold not. Look at what it says in verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We're not to withhold good from our neighbour. Now I want you to notice that portion of scripture. Look at the text. And I want you to notice the obligation under which we work. It is a command here. It is an obligation. It is a duty. You notice what it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. There's a duty there. There is something that our neighbour is due from us. There's an obligation. Now, I wonder today, have we ever thought about it like that? I have to confess that maybe I haven't thought about it like that. Now, we think maybe if we do good to our neighbour, if we reach out to our neighbour, if we help our neighbour in some way, then that's wonderful. That's a blessed thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. But I wonder if we ever thought of it as being our duty. Have we ever thought about it as being our obligation? That we are duty bound to give help to our neighbour. That we're duty bound to show that love and concern for our neighbour. And we think of those around us. There are young people who are caught up in the wickedness of this world and older people as well. We see them staggering out of the pubs on a Friday, Saturday evening. We see them in the nightclubs of this day and generation. We have families that are suffering through addiction to drink or gambling or something else. And we think of the hurting people that are all around us. Now, I don't know practically what we can do to help them, but I think that we should be devising some way or other in which we can help those people and reach out to those people, particularly with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a selfish age. We live in a day in which people are in a little bubble of their own and they don't really think about anybody else. We can live very self-sufficient lives, but we think of how we should be reaching out. We should be showing love to our friends, our neighbours, and those that are in need. I read a story, not that very long ago, just in the past few weeks, of somebody, I think it maybe was in Belfast that this took place, where somebody was being attacked in broad daylight. And there were all sorts of people round about. They were in a fairly crowded area, wasn't packed or anything, but there were people about. And nobody did anything. Everybody passed by. Everybody just, and in the most dire situation, we have come to the point where people don't care for one another. And that should never be said of the child of God. I read the story about G. Campbell Morgan, and he said this about Catherine Booth, the mother, as she was called, of the Salvation Army. And G. Campbell Morgan said about Catherine Booth, humanity went to hear her. Princes and peeresses merged with paupers and prostitutes. But one night, Morgan, G. Campbell Morgan, was in a meeting with Catherine Booth. And in her message, she pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was seeking to win others for the Savior. But in that meeting, there were all sorts of people. And there were the down and outs, and there were all sorts of rough people and ragged people. And G. Campbell Morgan and Catherine Booth were invited back by a wealthy lady to have some supper. And as they were sitting in the fine home, and the lady of the manor was fussing about, she said, "My dear Mrs. Booth, what that meeting was dreadful." And Catherine Booth said to her, "What do you mean, dear?" She says, "Well, while you were speaking, I was looking at the faces of those people that were in the meeting." And she says, "They were terrible faces." She says, "Why, dearie, don't you know them?" She says, "No, I certainly not. I don't know them." "Well, that's interesting," said Mrs. Booth. She says, "I didn't bring them from London with me. They're your neighbours." And they were. They were her neighbours. And she should have had that love and concern for them. And maybe there are people in your street, and people on your road, and people at your workplace, and they certainly need the gospel. Because the greatest good that we can do to them is to bring them the message of saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're under an obligation to do that. There's a duty upon us to do it. We need to be up and doing in this day in which we live. For the night cometh when no man can work. But not only do we see the obligation that we work under, but notice the object that we work for. It says in the text, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." Now you notice what we are to give. What is our duty? It is to give good to those to whom it is due. Now there are many things that your neighbour may want, but will not do them good. There are many things that may please your neighbour, but will not do them good. You think of the drink, and you think of those things, and maybe if you were to go down to the shop and bring your neighbour down to the public house, now it would make them happy, but it wouldn't do them good. It would make them happy if you were to become involved in their sin and weren't just outstanding or in any way pointing to their sin. Now they'd love that, but it wouldn't do them good. We are to do good to our neighbour. And I wonder today, are we doing good? We think of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what blessing it brings to those who find the Lord Jesus Christ. My, their whole being is transformed, and the whole direction of their lives is transformed. And the gospel is able to lift the fallen and bring them up to the heights. The Bible says, "Withhold not good from him to whom it is due." Are we fulfilling that part and that duty to our neighbour? But then there's another thing that we're not to do. If you look at verse 28, not only are we to withhold not good from them to whom it is due, but then in verse 28 it says, "Say not." So we're to withhold not, and then we're to say not. Look at what it says, verse 28. "Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee." In other words, we're to not put off to tomorrow what we can do today. There are many of us maybe have great intentions of doing good to our neighbours, but it always gets put on the long finger. We have every intention of bringing the gospel to that workmate or to that family member, but we are always waiting for something else to be put in place. Maybe we're waiting for the right moment, or maybe we're waiting until we have more knowledge or more wisdom or more understanding, or that we have more resources or something else. And we're always waiting, we're always putting it off. But the Bible says that if we have it by us, if we have the blessings and that we have the gift and we have the good to give, then we are to give it immediately. I read about a student, a young man, who went into a cave to study with a wise man. And he wanted to learn from the wise man all that the wise man could teach him. He wanted to know everything. So the wise man got out some etching powder and he sprinkled it on the hand of the young man. And he says he went away and left the young boy with a stack of books, and he said, "Now you try and learn everything." After a number of days, he came back, and he said to the young man, "Well, have you learned everything?" He says, "No, I haven't learned everything." So he put some itching powder on his hand, and he went away again, came back after a while, "Have you learned everything?" "No, I haven't." So he put more itching powder on his hand, and away he went. The next time the wise man came back, the young fellow got fed up with the itching powder, and the wise man came in, and he grabbed the itching powder, and he threw it away, and the wise man says, "Congratulations, you've graduated." He says, "What do you mean you've graduated? He says, "Well, you've learned something. You don't need to know everything to do something positive." He says, "You've got rid of the itching powder and you've graduated. And we don't need to know everything to do something positive. You certainly don't need to know everything to do something positive in God's word." William Arnott, who wrote a great commentary on the book of Proverbs, said this about this verse. He said, "A kind deed done quickly is twice done." So, he says, "Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." So, don't say to your neighbour, say to those around us, "Some other time." But it is today that we're to work for the kingdom of God. So we're to withhold not, and then we're to say not. And then look at verse 29, and this time it says, "Devise not." Look at what it says in verse 29. "Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee." Now again, this text speaks of malice. The word "devise" there is from a word that means to engrave, or it means to plough, but it has the connotation of doing it secretly. So what the word has come to mean is something that is done surreptitiously. A furrow that is ploughed in secret. And what it means here is something is done behind the back. Something that is done in a conspiracy. Something that is done in secret. We have heard a lot on the news this week about Damien McBride, a senior press officer in the Prime Minister's office in Downing Street. And he had to resign this week because he sent emails with lurid and unsubstantiated allegations about senior leaders in the opposition. And there were all sorts of dirty tricks going on. There have been allegations of dirty tricks here in Northern Ireland as well. And politics is a dirty game. And people put out all sorts of stories and try to put all sorts of black spins upon what is done. Now, Solomon would have been no stranger to things like that. You know, he had to suffer conspiracies against him. We think of when he came to the throne, there was a conspiracy to put Ish-bosheth upon the throne in his room and in his stead. So Solomon was no stranger to these conspiracies. But it's not just in the political realm. It can happen in the office. It can happen in the workplace. We think of how it happens in sport. In any place where one person is trying to climb above another person, that kind of conspiracy and devising evil against one another can take place. We can so easily do it. We can laugh at somebody else because at least they're not laughing at us. We can join in the laughter that is made upon another person because at least they're not laughing at us. And we are not to devise evil against another. Now let me remind you who your neighbour is. Your neighbour is the person who opposes you. He doesn't have to be friendly with you. Your neighbour includes those that oppose you. Those that are of another religion. Those that maybe have despitefully done things against you. He is your neighbour. You're not to devise evil against him. Not only is he the one who opposes you, but he is the one who maybe offends you. The dirty person down the street, the man with the filthy tongue, The man who is a drunkard, the man who is on drugs, the man who is lazy. We're not to devise evil against any. They're all our neighbours. So, the Word of God is very strict upon these things. We're not to devise evil against our neighbour, no matter who they may be. We are to be those who are straightforward, to say what we mean and mean what we say, as far as those are round about us. So we notice that we are to devise not. Then look at verse 30, and it says, strive not. It says, strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. The word strive there is a word which means to wrangle, or to get into a controversy. It indicates the person that's always getting into rows and always getting into difficulties. And you notice the prohibition that is given here. It says, don't do that. Avoid strife. Avoid fighting. You know, there are people that are always falling out with one another. I've known people who are either in the middle of a row or else getting into one. There are people I've known who have fallen out with everybody around them. Their friends, their family, their neighbours. And of course, they could come and they could try and justify to you why they'd fallen out with all those people. And they had reasons in their own minds as to why they'd fallen out with everybody around them. But there was no coincidence that they fell out with everybody. And the community had them summed up as fighters. The community had summed them up as bad-tempered people. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 26 and you look at verse 27, it speaks about a person like that. Or verse 17, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17, it says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. In other words, it's dangerous. If you take a dog by the ears, you'll get bit. And he says, those that meddle in strife are like those people that take a dog by the ears. Now, there is a prohibition. There's a permission given. It says, strive not with a man without cause. If you have just cause, you can strive. If it's a matter of legitimate grievance or self-defense, but never let us use that as an excuse. You know, we can use it as an excuse. Oh, I have a legitimate cause. But we can say that we have a legitimate cause. Like the man who was talking about, he thought he had a legitimate cause. But he had a bad temper and he was falling out with everybody. A Christian shouldn't have that bad-tempered attitude. We need to deal with our temper. We need to deal with our anger. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let's not be selfish. Let's look at the concerns of others. How do other people feel? What are other people's feelings on the thing? Oh, let's not just get caught up in ourselves. It says, strive not. And then look at verse 31. Here's the fifth one. Envy not. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Now, I want you to realize how simple it is to do that. It's simple to envy. We think of many times in the scriptures when the psalmist, for example, envied the wicked. In Psalm 37, in verse 1, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. In Proverbs 23 and 17 it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And the repetition of that command is a demonstration of how it needs to be enforced. It is easily done. We can envy. How often we envy. How often we envy the lifestyle of those that have ill-gotten gains. How often we envy the riches of those who are in some kind of wealth or some kind of power. But we don't look at their hearts. We don't see the sadness. We don't see the heartache that lifestyle can give. And you know, envy is such a stupid thing. Dwight Moody told the parable or the story of an envious eagle. And the eagle was envious of the other eagle who could soar up into the heavenlies, and it was able to fly higher than the first eagle. And so this eagle decided that it would do something about it, and it went to a hunter, a man with a bow and arrow, and he said, "If you will shoot that eagle," he says, "I will give you one of my feathers to make your arrow fly straight." So the hunter said, "Okay," and the eagle gave him the feather, and the man shot at the eagle that was soaring in the sky, but missed. The arrow couldn't go high enough. The archer said, "Well," he says, "maybe if you pull another feather, then my arrow will be able to fly straighter." So the eagle pulled one feather after another. And of course, after a while, it had no feathers to fly with itself. And the hunter took advantage of the situation and shot the eagle, the first eagle. And of course, envy had only hurt the first eagle. It was not hurting the other eagle at all. And envy only hurts ourselves. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." And if you've rottenness in your bones, you have trouble. You have trouble. And there are many breakdowns in relationships, and breakups in families, and we can have a nice house and a nice car, but if we don't have that relationship with those around us, what do we have? What do we have? Envy. Has envy entered in? Has there been that envious spirit that has infected you? The 10th commandment, it warns us against covetousness, warns us about the sin of envy. It is a sin. And we shouldn't envy our neighbour. If our neighbour has wealth, then God bless him. If those in the congregation have more than we have, then God bless them. They have the responsibility of using that. They have the responsibility of looking after that. God has given them the responsibility of using that for his honour and for his glory. You don't have the responsibility. But don't envy. So men and women, we have this responsibility to our neighbour. Withhold not. Say not. Devise not. Strive not. Envy not. I wonder what our relationship is to our neighbour. Are we cut off from those around us? Do we have come and go with those around us? Isn't it good to see the young people reaching out to the young people in our community? Isn't that what we need to do? Isn't that what we are called to do? To go out and bring the message to those around us in this day in which we live. Oh, we have a responsibility. We have a duty to our neighbours. Let's fulfil that duty. And let's see them brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is able to save them from wrath to come. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.